Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is education across the state. Our guest is Ruben Murillo. He's the president of the Nevada State Education Association. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Larry Mathias and Janice Flanagan. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Just about everything in our lives is happening faster. But instead of just keeping up, Envy Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Ruben Murillo. He is the president of the Nevada State Education Association in the middle of his first year. Pleasure to have you back in the program, sir.
Thank you.
I want to start out with obviously a very serious topic, which was the school shooting at Sparks Middle School. What was the reverberation through your members?
Well, there was always shock and horror when something like this happens. And I believe this past week I was talking to the president of the Washington Education Association, and they had an incident there when there was a student who came on campus with 400 rounds of ammunition and such. So whenever this happens nationwide, everybody who's in the education field, and plus the community's hurt. Obviously, there are situations that we have to take a look at as to what was the cause of the violence that occurred and address those.
Mental health comes up a lot in these kind of situations across the country, and yet here, especially in Nevada, we spend so little on mental health. Your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, we have to take a look at what the cause was, and mental health seems to be a running theme throughout these shootings. There has to be a funding mechanism for not only public education for fully funding it, but also the social services that have been cut from the last recession that we went through. This state has a huge challenge in terms of meeting the needs of our citizens when it comes to mental health issues, public education, and social services that that try to build a better, healthy society.
Do you think that the governor feels the same way?
I'm sure he does. I don't believe that there's anybody in the state who will acknowledge that there has to be additional resources that go towards mental health, public education, and other social services. What the key disagreement is going to be, how do you fund those? Where is the money going to come from in order to bring back social services to the levels that they were at least prior to the recession.
And do you think that that there is a sense in the legislature of being able to do that? Because nobody wants to raise taxes, as you know, although we'll get to your situation in a minute. But it would seem that mental health is very low on the totem pole.
When I look at the last legislative session, it was recognized that there needs to be some action. And while there was some funding put forth for public education and social services mental health issues, not enough to make a difference. You know, you can put a little bit of water to a dying plant and it'll, you know, give it some life, but you really need to nurture it, feed it, and grow it.
Is this something else that's being put on the teachers' laps, an awareness of potential mental health issues, and is that fair?
Well, there's absolutely a pressure being put upon teachers and support staff in terms of trying to identify issues that are happening in schools that may be precursors to violence. But one of the things that we have to address is school safety. And so for teachers and support staff, school safety is of the utmost importance for our students to have a safe place to learn, but also for staff to have a safe place to teach. And from that comes programs that I would identify bullying, as you have, you know, probably followed with the NFL. It not only is in the school place, but it's in the workplace.
What about the idea that we had a couple of years ago about potentially arming school teachers? Do you think that's a good idea?
I think we need to arm school teachers with knowledge. We need to arm them with the tools to make effective decisions when it comes to identifying students that may need help, you know, the training and such. Arming teachers in a classroom, I was on the flight up here, I heard the people in the row behind me talking about arming teachers, and they were not educators. They were saying, so what if we were to arm psychologists and all that stuff, where would it end?
And the answer?
They ended up changing the subject, but it wouldn't end. Where would you, so you have an armed campus where everybody has a gun. If something were to happen and everybody shoots and you have innocent victims, there's just a lot to think about before we even go down that road.
Another serious topic is the topic of hunger in our schools. We've done through our nonprofit a lot of work over the years with schools that have up to 85% of kids that are homeless. What is the situation as you see it across the state?
Well, schools have to become a focus of the community. They have to be centers where families feel comfortable, not only in the education of their children, but wraparound services. What kind of services do schools provide a community? Schools should be the heart and soul of any community. With that comes the issue of hunger, as you bring it up, and there are a lot of programs out there that are federally, you know, funded and also from private donations where breakfast is being provided for children before school starts. And you have some schools that are 100%, you know, free and reduced lunch. It's our duty as educators and as a community to make sure that our students are well prepared for whatever they face in school, from their activities, from their education, and so that they're well nurtured and we have a good body of work to work with.
I was in Walmart last weekend, and it was sad to look at the cash registers where the sign says that if you're a food stamp recipient, there's not going to be as much money on your food stamp card. What kind of effect do you think that's going to have on our population?
Well, I think what it's going to do, it's going to have a ripple effect in terms of those providers who do assist schools or families, food pantries, for example, that help to provide those services. I know that at the church that I belonged to last week, there was a major food drive to try to help bring up the food pantry there because of the anticipation of the reliance of those who don't have additional funding for food stamps or additional income to come and help out in that manner.
Do you think that we're going to see more of that? You know, it used to be that people didn't have such reliance on government, that they looked more at their churches and their community to come through and help. And we've seen certainly that across the state. Do you think we're going to need to see more of that?
Well, I think absolutely. You know, especially if the funding isn't there from the government. The government has a role in helping to provide for a safe and for a healthy citizenry. But when that fails, then it's going to require a partnership between the private sector and the public sector to make sure that all of our citizens, especially our students in Nevada, have the tools and the resources necessary to be, you know, successful.
You know, and it's stunning to me to live in the United States of America and even think about one child going to bed hungry.
You know, and as you look at reports all across the nation as to how many people go to bed hungry or what the poverty line is, and it's astonishing that, you know, we have that happening here in the United States. So, you know, if we talk about the funding issue, then if it's not just a Nevada problem and it's a U.S. problem, then how do we find those solutions? Like I said before, people will identify that there's an issue, that there's a problem, but they don't come up with solutions. They just say, wow, isn't that sad?
All right, let's take a break. More with Ruben Murillo when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ruben Murillo. He is president of the Nevada State Education Association. You've been traveling not just in southern Nevada, but in Washoe County and in rural Nevada. And I'm kind of curious to see what your thoughts are on education in rural Nevada.
Oh, there are some unique issues in rural Nevada.
For example?
For example, the funding. For example, supports from the state association, but also the state of Nevada. A lot of times, rurals feel like they're isolated. You know, that nobody really cares about them, that nobody listens to them. So my goal as a Nevada State Education President is to make sure that NSEA is present in the rurals, that we work with them, that they know that they're supported. And anything that happens in terms of legislation, we need to engage our rural affiliates and make sure that laws that are passed to support other parts of the state don't adversely impact them.
And what kind of things are adversely impacting them at this point?
Well, at this point, that's what I'm doing. I'm going out there trying to find some information.
So you're in a question.
I don't have that information right now, but I'm sure that we have a very active membership there. They're part of the Nevada State Education Association, and working with them, they'll help me to identify what the issues are.
We have a new state school superintendent. Can you give him a grade at this point in how he's doing?
I just did my pretest with him. Speaking from the role of an educator, it's too early to give a grade. But I did meet with the superintendent a couple days ago.
Dale Urquiagua.
I did meet with him. He is looking to work with NSEA when it comes to critical issues, to get our feedback, to work on some programs, maybe professional development across the state. So I'm very hopeful for a positive relationship with him.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, which, of course, is the margins tax. You know, at this point in time, it looks like it's going to be big money versus little money, but big organization. Is that the way you view it?
Absolutely. And I don't think it's an elephant in the room. For me, it's what's first and foremost that NSEA is working on. Absolutely, there's going to be opposition to the education initiative, but we have a ground organization that is being created at the state level, and each of the local affiliates will be charged with coming up with their own ground game for their counties. For example, the Clark County Education Association just has been working on a ground game that will help to mobilize members, mobilize voters, and to make sure that we try to counter whatever is thrown at us.
Even though the AFL-CIO is not officially in, we know that they are in, and between your organization that has 26,000 members and the thousands that are members of the AFL-CIO, you will obviously have a great ground game. Are you also going to be able to include either Senator Reid's machine, if you want, for a better word, or the Obama machine, which is essentially the same thing that's been in place now for quite a few years? Will you be able to tap into that?
We're hopeful that we'll be able to work with other organizations, other political organizations, but let's be perfectly clear. We've learned some lessons from the past elections, from Obama's election, from Senator Reid's election, and what we propose to do is to build our own organization that's just as effective as theirs. As a teacher, we always, borrow things, from other classrooms, and we're doing the same thing too. Would it help us to work together with them? Absolutely. Are we going to reach out to them? Absolutely.
What is the estimated amount that you think would be raised by the margins tax per year?
Well, the figure that we've been working with is about $800 million.
And what is that based on?
It's based on the revenues that have been projected. If you take a look at businesses and what their revenues are, that's been done by Dan Hart and our consultants.
There are those that are going to say that that's an awful lot of money. If you put $800 million into education, that the legislature is going to find a way to take some of that money out of the distributive school account and utilize it elsewhere. Do you have a concern that that's just too big of a pot of money?
For me, $800 million is not a lot of money. People may say that, but then I'm going to tell them, did you know that $800 million has been cut from the education budget over the last couple of legislative sessions? So, at a minimum, that would bring us back to where we're at pre-recession levels. And so, I know that people have been saying that it's a potential that they could back out the money, but at the last legislative session, a couple things really happened that made me feel that the legislature has finally recognized education is important. Classroom size reduction, ELL, early childhood, all those programs are identified by the governor and legislature as being crucial to the success of our students. And because of that, monies were started to be allocated towards those things. Not a lot of money. Classroom size reduction for just kindergarten, what about high schools and middle schools? So we firmly believe that we have a case to say this money is going to be used wisely, this money is needed, and if we don't do it, then how are we going to successfully educate our students?
One quick question, quick answer. So is it $800 million a year or $800 million per biennium?
You know what? I'm not sure about that. I'd have to take a look and see.
All right.
Because I'm new at this.
Would you email me back on that?
Absolutely.
Because that's a big question.
Okay.
Hey, thank you so much for being here. Please come back soon.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Suffering from severe and chronic back pain? Are you ready for lasting relief? Get your life back with the safe, non-invasive, drug-free solution known as non-surgical spinal decompression from ProSpinal.
I was literally pain-free.
I mean, it was like night and day.
I recommend spinal decompression to everyone.
Call ProSpinal today at 775-336-DISC. Ask us about our 3-day risk-free trial. That's ProSpinal at 775-336-DISC.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We've delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Larry Mathias, the former executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association, and Janice Flanagan, chair of the Washoe Dems. Pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you, Sam.
I wanted to start out, you had some thoughts off air, and I wanted to continue it on air on the whole Jim Wheeler situation. Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, I think Assemblyman Wheeler, he's going to have to pay a political price for his poor choice of words about slavery. But I don't see that as what is the fundamental flaw in his kind of thinking and the thinking of an awful lot of elected officials and elected officials' campaigns as they try to appease their grassroots. Edmund Burke, who was an Anglo-British parliamentarian, who advised the Parliament and King George to act a little more wisely in dealing with the American colonies, wasn't listened on that, heard on that. But he gave some advice to voters, and that is that your representative owes you not only industry, but also his judgment. And that if he sacrifices it for your opinion, he's betraying you.
Janice, you want to respond to that?
Well, I certainly believe that's true. I think Burke was a good statesperson. But I do think it's awfully hard. What he did is he spoke the way he felt. And this is the problem, is some people were really back in the Mad Men era. I hate to say this, but old white men want to go back to when they were they ruled the roost, and it's really not the way the modern world works. But it's awfully hard to eat your words when you have your foot in your mouth.
But I think it has more to do with what he was saying was, even if I think this is an absolutely terrible idea, it's my responsibility. If that's what my voters want, my constituents want, then that's the position I have to take, no matter how much I disagree with it. And I say that's the problem. That's the problem we've gotten into in this country with the narrowness of the bases of the two parties, with the kind of hate campaigns that everybody runs. It's get your grassroots out, make the independents in the middle so disgusted with the process they don't turn out, and try to drive down the numbers of your opponents. And we saw it in Virginia just yesterday.
That was
a race between two absolutely detestable campaigns. Not the men themselves, but the campaigns they were running were detestable. They insulted the intelligence of the voters, so much so that a very few number of voters came out, and they voted by party. You owe for elected officials, the hardest thing is what you really owe to the state, to the nation, is your best judgment, and to act on that. And if that loses you the next election, you've acted honorably and you've served well.
And you know, I couldn't agree with you more. It seems to me that that's why we elect people, is that we don't want to govern ourselves. So therefore, we go to the polls and vote for somebody. Once the election is over, during their term, isn't it their responsibility to act in the best interest of us, but not necessarily to do exactly what we say, because we've already given them that power, and it's up to the next election. If we don't like it, get rid of them.
Well, this is the problem that exists right this week with AB 46 and the county commissioners. They're afraid they're going to lose.
This is the Washoe County Schools Bill.
Yeah, the school bill, the school reconstruction. Oh. They're afraid that they are going to be not elected again.
Well, their fear is no greater than the fear of the legislators who gutlessly passed that along.
Well, but the other the thing is that I want to point out is that not everybody on that county commission feels that way.
And so not everyone does.
I don't want to tar everybody on that county commission.
No, that's true.
With the same brush.
But
the legislature did pass on its responsibilities, because it would be a hard sell to the voters when they came back for election. So they passed it down to another unit of government.
But it wasn't unique, though. I mean, Jill Tolles, who is in support of this funding, has done extensive research on how many times the legislature has passed the buck, but then you look at the county commission and how much time it's spent on this topic is way more than the legislature would have spent. Let me end this and move on to another topic, which is Governor Chris Christie. You know, people thought, we only got about 30 seconds here, but people thought that he would take a lot of flack for embracing President Obama during the whole Sandy incident, but he came out with just a landslide victory here. What are your thoughts on Governor Chris Christie for president?
Well, that's a leap from governor to president. But I do feel that he was reelected because he's seen
as... Bill Clinton didn't think it was a leap.
Well, he's seen as a competent governor, and he has been a competent governor. Not for everybody, but for most people. And I think that's why he was reelected so overwhelmingly.
It shows how Republicans can win general elections, but he didn't have to face a real primary. The problem for the Republicans is exactly an extension of the problem that I was talking about earlier. It's that they have to get through a base that's energized and extreme, as do the Democrats in many cases around the country. And that makes them unpopular in terms of being able to gather a general election vote. So Christie shows, and for that matter, Brian Sandoval, shows how Republicans can win a broader base, how they can get a good-sized part of the women's vote, the Latino vote, the African-American vote. But you have to get to a general in order to be able to do that. And for the Republicans, that's their challenge, as it has been over the years for the Democrats going the other way.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. We'll be right back on About the Newsmakers after this timeout.
Thank you.
Now at Home Solutions at Ace, a sofa in a box, just $4.99. Easily fits into the smallest house, apartment, even RVs, and fits into the trunk of your car. You have got to see this. And this, our best power lineup from Best Home Furnishings. All sale price, including this power rocker recliner, just $5.99 when you mention this ad. We're also your ultimate custom furniture dealer with Oak Creek Custom. You choose your style, size, wood, your hardware, and your finish, making it truly yours. Home Solutions at Ace, the hardware store with an entire furniture center.
On the open road, it's good to know you're never on your own, because we're always looking out for you.
With Dolan Care, you get 24-hour roadside assistance. Plus, we'll throw in free oil changes for a year with the purchase of any pre-owned vehicle at any Dolan dealership.
And don't forget about our low price promise. We'll be any deal in Nevada on a new Toyota, Scion, Lexus, Mazda, or Kia.
That's the Dolan difference.
Dolan Auto Group. Get in
and join the family.
Need to buy a new ride? How about winning one? During Rides and Riches at the Nugget, you could drive home a new Toyota Camry. Grab your share of $10,000 in free play. Win a high-definition TV, free buffets, score more free play on Hot Seat Thursdays. We've got 300 slots and video poker machines new just for you. So play these machines to win this machine with your Johns Club card at the Nugget.
At Bradley, Drendel & Janae, we fight for the legal rights of our clients here in Nevada. We are also proud to partner with News 4 in recognizing the Nevada Military Support Alliance. Nevada's servicemen and women stand in harm's way to fight for our freedom and the way of life we all enjoy as Americans, some giving the ultimate sacrifice to defend our great nation. At Bradley, Drendel & Janae, we are Nevada proud, and we salute America's Armed Forces and the Nevada Military Support Alliance.
On the next broadcast, Jeff Hardcastle will be here. He's the Nevada State Demographer.